And to continue on with this spirit of smiling and feeling great, I'm going to pass it on to the Reverend of the St. Peter's Methodist Church, Reverend Leslie Jackson, who's going to offer an invocation.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Jovan. Just one small correction, St. Peter United Church of Christ, because the Methodist Church would surely not ordain me. But I consider that a compliment, so thank you. For our invocation this morning, and out of respect for our religious diversity, or no faith at all, I thought I would read a poem from Langston Hughes. And I thought it would be great for us to hear where we have been and to hear where we are going and to celebrate that accomplishment today, to celebrate our awardees, and to also keep us in the fight, in the struggle. So hear these words. America, little dark baby, little Jew baby, little outcast. America is seeking the stars. America is seeking tomorrow. You are America. I am America. America the dream. America the vision. America the star-seeking eye. Out of yesterday, the chains of slavery. Out of yesterday, the ghettos of Europe. Out of yesterday, the poverty and pain of the old, old world. The building and struggle of this new one. We come, you. And I, seeking the stars, you and I, you of the blue eyes and the blonde hair, I of the dark eyes and the crinkly hair, you and I offering hands, being brothers, being one, being America, you and I, who am I? You know me. I am Crispus Attucks at the Boston Tea Party. Jimmy Jones in the ranks of the last black troops marching for democracy. I am Sojourner Truth preaching and praying for the goodness of this wide, wide land. Today's black mother being tomorrow's America. Who am I? You know me. Dream of my dreams. I am America. I am America seeking the stars. America hoping, praying, fighting, dreaming, knowing there are stains on the beauty of my democracy. I want to be clean. I want to grovel no longer in the mire. I want to reach always after the stars. Who am I? I am the ghetto child. I am the dark baby. I am you and the blonde tomorrow. And yet, I am my one soul self, American, seeking the stars.
Thank you so much for that, Reverend. And now I will turn it back over to our host and MC, Mr. Derek Short.
That was very nice, Reverend Jackson. Thank you so much. And I just want to remind people, too, what a great resource the caucus is. So when it comes time to vote this year, for the first time ever, in addition to sending endorsement cards throughout Harris County, Fort Bend and Waller counties also have a list of endorsements. And so remember to tell your friends and family members, because I know that a lot of times it gets overwhelming when you get to your polling place. And it's nice that the caucus does a lot of our research and background for us in advance. All right, so our next guest, I am so excited to introduce loads of talent, Christina Wells. She, you guys watch America's Got Talent on NBC, KPRC Channel 2. Christina blew us away, and I fell in love with her before I had the pleasure of meeting her. And Christina, you're such an inspiration to so many of us, because you are the perfect example of someone who has followed your inner compass. And you followed your dreams. So welcome.
There's a the darkness, though the night is black as my skin. There's a light burning bright, showing me the way. It's a voice that comes from deep within. There's a cry asking why. I pray the answer's up ahead. Yes, I know where I've been.
Political caucus needs your support now more than ever. Systemic racism can feel us gaining momentum and gaining strength. And we can take it down. We can take down these evil forces that have made 2020 more than a year to remember. But we need help, right? We need help and we need your support. So if that song didn't make you feel some kind of way, and that song just reached inside of you and said, and you want to make a difference, you want to do something, you want to tell somebody something, you feel passionate about justice for Breonna Taylor, then you need to donate. You need to donate to this cause right now. Because when you do, you're making that advance. It's a political year. You've got to step forward strong and together. So please donate.
Oh my gosh, y'all, let me tell you about Christina. She and I have been friends for 25 plus years now. We met each other's kids. I mean, literally 18. And I've watched her journey, and she is, I've watched her sing that song like a dozen times, and every time it makes me cry. Because I do feel it, and I do see it. And thank you, Christina. That was amazing. Sorry, I'm an emotional person anyway. Christina has a concert coming up next Sunday, and I just want to put a plug out there for her. We need to support entertainers right now, and we also need to support LGBT entertainers. And Christina is wonderful and is living her best life. And I love her. Thank you, Christina. We are going to put the link to donate to the caucus, because that was a very passionate ask as well. We'll be getting that up in the chat so that you can, do what Christina asked you to do. I mean, you can't turn that down, right? All right, now I'm going to hand it back over to Derek.
January, thank you so much. And Christina, thanks. We will be hearing a little from Christina later on in the show. My family's obsessed with you, Christina. And, you are one of a kind. Wow, what a voice. All right, Mayor Sylvester Turner, you're on deck. And listen, I'm convinced you must sleep only 2 hours a night. You are one of the busiest guys in this city. And I mean, being the fourth largest city in America, we already know that you have a very full plate. This year, Mayor Turner, does it feel different for you as well? Because it sure feels different for the rest of us.
And Derek, it does. It feels different, and it is different. But the good news is that we adjust, we adapt, we move forward, because quite frankly, evil doesn't stop, and people who are trying to take us back doesn't stop. So we have to be even more tenacious and more relentless and move forward. But it is different, and it feels different. And even with myself, I mean, you just have to kind of work to keep yourself together and keep moving and keep serving. Let me just say, Christina is simply amazing. I mean, simply amazing. And what a fitting song for a fitting time, for a fitting luncheon. So, Christina, look, I love you. You are incredible. And it's not just your voice, but it's that soul and that heart that comes out in your singing. Highly talented. Can't say enough for you. To January, Mario, to Javon, and to all of the elected officials and others who are part of this luncheon, let me just say hello. It's always good to be with you at the annual Houston LGBTQ+ Equality Brunch. This year's 11th annual event, and its success over the years demonstrates the significance and influence of this organization. And each year this event, it gets bigger and bigger. Even with the pandemic, it doesn't stop. It moves forward because the work doesn't stop, because the pandemic is in our midst. From elected officials and community leaders, executives in the corporate and nonprofit world, and trailblazers in the LGBTQ+ community, we're all represented. And I like what Reverend said earlier. I am you, because quite frankly, I am you, and you are me. And it's only with that mindset can we move successfully, can we move forward and move the ball further down the field. I want to congratulate all of today's honorees who will be acknowledged later in this program. Thank you for the work that you continue to do in the fight for equality. I also want to say hello to the speakers who will follow me, including former Mayor Nice Parker, former Mayor and Presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg, and the Harris County Clerk Chris Holland, and so many others. In Houston, we understand that we are better together. And we don't only talk about diversity, we also work hard to be inclusive each and every day. It's one thing to be diverse, but you can be diverse and still be separate, segregated, and apart. So it's important for us to be diverse and inclusive. Now, with regards to this election, and I'll move on. This is a consequential election year, and it is so important for all of us to participate and to go even beyond what we thought we would have done last year. We really have to commit ourselves to get engaged in this election. It's consequential, and this election is personal because lives are directly on the line. in this election more so than ever. And if you question why, let me tell you, just with this pandemic, over 200,000 people have lost their lives across this country. In the state of Texas, more than 16,000. In Houston, more than 1,000 people have lost their lives. So lives are on the line. And many of the individuals who have died to underlying medical conditions, like many of us. And I know this community is certainly sensitive to that. So healthcare is on the line. Whether or not pre-existing conditions will continue to be covered, that is on the line in this election. Our judicial system as a whole is on the line in this election. Appointments at various levels, cabinet positions, all of those things are on the line. Equality and protection is on the line. People may look and see what the Supreme Court did in 2013 as it relates to gay marriages, look at some of the other things that are on the line, but still, those things are on the line because it still did not go far enough in terms of discrimination in housing, public accommodation, healthcare, the criminal justice system. Those issues remain on the line. Whether we regress, go back, or go forward, that's on the line. And if you don't think we can't regress, just take a look at the things that have taken place over the last 4 years. The rights and the protections and the equality of trans women of color, those things are on the line. And look, we've made some progress, at least we're having the conversation even more so in public, but we still have a long way in regards to the transgender community when it comes to violence, healthcare, housing, employment, all of those things on the line. Our children, who are highly diverse in their thinking and who they are, those things are on the line. And so we have to work every day to fight for our children. I'll close by simply saying this. The Stonewall Uprising that occurred in 1969, they started a fire, they lit a fire. But now that baton has been carried to us, and things are happening in 2020 to suppress the vote in the state of Texas, like in other jurisdictions. But let's talk about Texas. In this state, things are happening to suppress the vote, specifically by our government. And it's not in 1820 or 1920, it's 2020. And he's doing it in our face while we are on the watch. And so this is our moment to say, no, not gonna happen. We're not gonna allow it to happen. And the best way to stop that type of evilness is for us to show up at the ballot box like our lives depend on it. And quite frankly, it does. I am you, you are me. Now let's work and vote as if we have to depend and protect one another. I look forward to seeing you on November 3rd, if not before.
Mayor, that was incredible. Thank you so much. And Jovan, I think you're gonna take it from here. I think I'm probably not the only one who has chills right now.
Here we are. All right, so it is my honor and my absolute pleasure to introduce our keynote speaker for the day, affectionately known around the country after his historic presidential run as mayor.
Hi, it's Pete Buttigieg here, sending warm greetings from South Bend, Indiana, and I'm so thrilled to be joining you today for your annual Equality Brunch. Of course, by now we've gotten used to gathering virtually, but I still wish we could come together in person. I want to start off today by thanking your terrific caucus president, Jovan Tyler, and my friend Mayor Anise Parker for the invitation to join today and for your leadership. I don't have to tell any of you, we're living through an extraordinary, challenging time. It is and feels like a dark time. But I also find great hope in looking at the arc of our own community's ongoing march toward full equality. We have made meaningful gains changing both hearts and laws to recognize that who you love or how you identify should have no impact on your right to marry or have a job or get an apartment. cultural and political changes are happening rapidly. Think about how my own candidacy for the U.S. presidency would have been considered laughable, not just 51 years ago when Stonewall happened, but probably 5 years ago, too. And yet we know that there is so much more. We've got an epidemic of violence against Black trans women in this country. Conversion therapy needs to be banned everywhere, as it is still harming you. In this administration's continued attacks on the trans community, service members, to healthcare, it's got to come to an end. And I believe it will. A Biden-Harris administration will pass and sign the Equality Act and build a government that reflects the diversity and strength of our country. And that, of course, includes LGBTQ plus Americans of every background. There are 11 million eligible LGBTQ plus voters across the country and tens of millions of pro-equality voters. We make sure everyone votes who believes what we believe. This will be a historic victory for Democrats at every level. So let's work our hearts out every day between now and November 3rd, so that when November comes around, we've got a lot to celebrate. I'll close by really reflecting on how far we've come, even just in the decades since 2010. And considering that, picture where we might be by 2030, if we make the right decisions now, in 2020, to build a future for the next generation, so that we can look them in the eyes and truthfully say, there is a space for you, your uniqueness is celebrated, you are safe, and yes, you belong. Thanks again for all that you are doing to deliver full, meaningful equality. Please stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated.
Now I believe we're going to hear from former Mayor Anise Parker. That is the plan. So we'll go ahead and do that. Take it away, Madam Mayor.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to follow Mayor Pete and Mayor Turner. I actually believe that local government is the highest form of government, the most important form of government. I know there are people who think Washington is important, but I truly believe that the government that most impacts your daily life is local government, and I'm glad that we heard from these two amazing mayors. It was hard for me to figure out what to do after I left the mayor's office, but for the last 3 years, I have found my second favorite job, which is being CEO of the LGBTQ Victory Fund and Victory Institute. Victory is the only national organization that solely works with LGBTQ candidates. We don't lobby, we don't do policy, we respect our allies, and we love our allies, but Victory does not support our allies. We only support LGBTQ candidates. And just in this year, we have endorsed more than 300, something like 318 of the more than 1,000 LGBTQ candidates running across this country. We have endorsed across the political spectrum, Democratic Socialists to Democrats to Republicans. And we do it because we believe that our democracy is stronger and more robust when everyone is represented. And we have to have LGBTQ voices at the table. And I want to talk about Mayor Pete's run, but I also want to talk about something that I am seeing this year that is very disturbing, that I haven't seen in probably a decade. And that is that many of those more than 300 LGBTQ candidates that I work with, as well as the hundreds more, are under assault at a very high level for being LGBT. And it is not just from the right. It is also in Democrat-on-Democrat races. Because apparently there are those who feel that attacking someone's sexual orientation or gender identity is once again a valid way to get elected. Probably the worst campaign going on right now in the country is against John Hoadley running for Congress in Michigan, but we've seen it in Florida, we've seen it in the Midwest, we're seeing it out in California, and we have to stop it. Why it is important for those of us who are openly LGBT to stand up and run for office. Simple. First, we're trying to represent our constituents in the best way we can, and that's important. But every time someone who is openly LGBTQ stands up and says, this is who I am comfortable with who I am, and I'm ready to serve, it gives a new face and a new voice to our community. Pete Buttigieg wasn't the first openly gay man to run for president on a major party ticket. That honor belongs to Fred Carter, who ran as a Republican 8 years ago. The difference is that when Fred Carter ran 8 years ago, he was stiff-armed by the Republican Party and literally locked out of party caucus meetings on a number of occasions. Pete, when he ran, though unsuccessful in the final tally, was welcomed and embraced within the party. And he was treated just like every other candidate. That's what we want. We want equality. And in order to achieve that, we have to be in the arena fighting. So I'm proud of Fred. I'm proud of Pete. But I'm proud of everyone who stands up and runs. And think about the power of Pete Buttigieg and the images of him embracing Chasten, kissing Chasten, talking about his husband in the most natural way possible, being beamed into people's living rooms night after night. That is transformative. And I know that there are literally lives that have been saved because one more proud LGBTQ candidate stood up, this one at the highest level of American politics, and said, this is who I am worthy, I'm ready to serve, I can compete, you're worthy as well. So for everyone out there who wonders why we do the work we do and why it is important, yes, we want to serve our constituents, but that is not the only reason. We are role models, we are symbols of what is possible, and change will beget change. And that is what we need to see in American politics. So thanks for everybody being on the call. Thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit about my friend Pete, but also about the amazing LGBTQ candidates who are running all across America. And if you want to see a few of them, check out outforamerica.org. Victory maintains a map of every known LGBTQ elected official in the United States. You'll see that we win at every level, in every state, every part of the country. And if you want to see the ones who are running right now, check out victoryfund.org. Thank you.
Mayor Anise Parker, thank you so much. You are so wise, and you have spent your career fighting for equality. I remember the first time we met, and we're talking about how when you were elected for mayor, it didn't just make national news. It made international news that Houston had elected a lesbian mayor. And from your perspective, I mean, from your time on city council, city controller, people in this community knew you and loved you. Do you think that now, given the climate in 2020, do you think part of the problem is that so many people in the community at large don't realize that equality is still a battle being fought? Like when we talk about workplace discrimination, and when we talk about how a few months ago, you know, that landmark Supreme Court ruling where in those 38 states where someone could still be fired because of their sexual orientation, so many people said to me, oh, well, I didn't even know that that was a thing. How is that possible? Is that part of the problem, that the general public were just not quite aware of the level of inequality that still exists today?
Absolutely. And there's, I think for a lot of us, achieving equal marriage was sort of the pinnacle. And somehow we thought, oh, we can relax. That's not how civil rights work. It requires constant vigilance and engagement. And what we've also seen in the last 4 years, and Victory is a bipartisan organization, and as I've said, but we absolutely believe that Donald Trump is terrible for the LGBTQ community. And what we see in the last 4 years is how you can think you have a right when when it can be undermined and chipped away until it is hollowed out and loses its value. So you can't just say, okay, we've achieved this, now we can rest. We've achieved this, now we have to hold it. Now we have to keep fighting for it. And right currently, the part of our community that is most under assault is the trans community. And trans men, trans women, those in between, and they are the tip of the spear right now in terms of the attempted erosion of our rights. And I think one of the reasons that they are targeted is because they are less well known. I don't think anybody in America can say they don't know someone who is openly gay or lesbian. But I think that too many Americans can say they don't know someone who is trans, which is why it is important to put trans voices out front, which is why Victory has such a premium on making sure that we work with trans candidates. We have a number of mentorship and special programs to help advance our trans candidates and our candidates of color. But I guess that too is another problem, and that is that I think a lot of folks, due respect to my friend Pete Buttigieg, the white gay man, and I think that's the image that most people have of our community. We must have more and more images to show the full depth and breadth of our community. And so if you want to be inspired, again, go take a walk through the Out for America map and see where we're winning, and see what our candidates look like, and see what they're doing, and then decide to do it yourself.
Mayor Anise Parker, I could listen to you speak all day. Is it just me? Or I'm sure I'm seeing a lot of other head nods out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a voice of reason. And I know that you have been in public service for decades now, and the fact that you're continuing to use your voice is fantastic. We appreciate you more than you know.
Thank you.
And please say hi to your wife and family as well. All right, so today we've got some awards during this brunch. We have 9 of them, in fact, and we have presenters and awards as well. So over the next portion of the brunch, I will be introducing those presenters before each award. And for those of you who are maybe moved to donate to the caucus after hearing some of these incredible words, the link is in the chat. So feel free to find it there. Feel free to share that if you so choose. And again, representation matters, and it is so important that we have allies who are ensuring that our voices are heard. I see Lizzie Fletcher just popped up there as well. So glad to have you here, Lizzie. All right, so let's move on to some awards now. This is the Byron Rustin Civil Rights Award, our first award, presented by Fran Watson.
The movement for Black Lives is continual. We started with ending the practice of being bought and sold as chattel, demanding equal education and the right to vote, combating the practice of being used as political tools for the office of crimes such as law and order and welfare, demanding the acknowledgement of our citizens after being left behind in the HIV movement, or being disproportionately impacted during disasters such as COVID, the Flint water crisis, and Hurricane Katrina. However, with all of this, I know that we have so many more to do with the Black Lives. Many organizations right here in Houston are working for Black Lives through art, food, community, systems, and action. We have young Black people who are rising up into this, standing on the shoulders of those who come before. Sacred Rustin is the shoulder of all people. A Black queer man deeply rooted in civil rights movement. He advised on Martin Luther King. He was a key figure in the March on Washington. He worked for the liberation of all people. Human dignity was a value that he carried in his life. He once said, if we desire a society in which men are brothers, then we must act towards one another with brotherhood. If we can build such a society, then we would have achieved the ultimate goal. Today, the caucus honors one of our organizations, Black Lives Matter, an organization that shows that obtaining human freedom Black people, our queerness, our knowledge, and our love for Black people. So today I say congratulations as I present the Bayard Black Civil Rights Award.
Hi. Thank you guys very much for honoring Black Lives Matter Houston with this award. Honor us at your caucus meeting. Honor us when you go out day to day and you entangle yourself with people that don't value Black lives. That's how you honor Black lives. And in honoring and giving us this award, we are appreciative. But it's work, and we need you guys to put in work. So thank you very much.
So thank you all for awarding us with the Bayard Rustin Award. When I think of Bayard Rustin, I think of a man who was truly the architect of the March on Washington. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to get the credit that he was deserved because of who he is. We as Black LGBTQ plus people have always been a part of this movement. We've always championed the rights for other people and don't get the due that we deserve, nor do we get our issues attended to even by the people who we fight for and who benefit from our lives. So this is a small way of honoring Bayard Rustin, Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, and honoring the work that we do that often doesn't get seen, because trust me, as my sister has just said, this is truly work. But there's still work to be done. And the true way that you honor us is you start valuing us. You start actually putting support and actual work behind what it is that we do and who we stand for. Because we stand not only for us as a collective unit, but for all members of the Black LGBTQ plus community. I also want to uplift our two other organizers who are members of this community who weren't able to join us, who are also a part of our community, because we keep standing on the front lines for everybody, even when people don't stand for us. So this is a small part of awarding what we do, but the real award will come when we actually achieve racial equity in Houston and all around the world, and you can be a part of that.
Hi, everybody. This is Ashton P. Woods with Black Lives Matter Houston. I want to thank you all for honoring us with the Bayard Rustin Award. And in the vein of James Baldwin, Sylvia Rivera, Marsha P. Johnson, Barbara Jordan, all of the people who came before us that got the bottles thrown at them when they walked down the street because they wanted to go to the club and get away from cis heteronormativity and homophobia. Also while dealing with the racism of non-Black folks within the LGBTQ community. Even from this very organization, we've experienced that. But we've all worked together and overlooked our differences to make strides to create change in Houston that is historic, that is still immeasurable. And so as the 35-year-old Ashton who first met many of you, as a 24-year-old Ashton, I want to thank you for allowing me in that space and for respecting when I demanded space and when we demanded space. And I'm greatly appreciative of this award. So on behalf of Black Lives Matter Houston, thank you again. We still have work to do. Just remember, 2020 is not over, and we have more than an election to solve.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Amen to that. Congratulations to Black Lives Matter for the Bayard Rustin Civil Rights Award. And I do think it's interesting that, I mean, I know we've said this a number of times, but it's 2020, and clearly racism did not end with federally mandated integration so many decades ago. And I don't know about all of you out there, but I have found myself having conversations this year that make me sort of feel like I'm stepping back in time, right? So many issues that we thought were just sort of sorted out and many of us took for granted clearly we have our work cut out for us. And again, that starts at the ballot box. All right, I want to move on to the next award. This is the Mayor Amisti Parker Award, and Christina Grzynski will present the award.
Hey y'all, it's Christina Grzynski. Thank you so much to Javon and the Caucus Board for inviting me to present this award. I miss Houston a ton in the caucus, and each year this event will hold such a special place in my heart. Virtual programming is such a nice way to reconnect over the distance, and I hope y'all are staying healthy and doing well in H-Town. I'm thrilled and honored to present the Mayor Amisti Parker Award. Formerly the Harvey Milk Award, which honors a public servant who shows courage on behalf of the LGBTQ community. The 2020 Amisti Parker Award will be awarded to State Representative Mary Gonzalez. You know Amisti Parker, our glass-ceiling breaking hero for Houston's LGBTQ community, and the first openly LGBTQ person elected as mayor of a major U.S. city in 2009. This two-time former caucus president set the high bar for all of us during her distinguished 18 years of public service. And along the way, she inspired so many of us to get involved in the political process. Chris Banks was the president of the caucus in 2009, and I served alongside him, along other fantastic leaders, like our wonderfully impressive friend, Lily Schechter, who I met phone banking for Anise in 2009, and now she's leading Harris County like an absolute champion and being honored by the caucus today, too. So Anise, as an at-large council member, not only inspired all of us to get out and advocate, she passed more ordinances than anyone else. She went on to serve as an innovative city controller who saved the city millions of dollars. She was a three-term mayor. She made us so proud with her leadership. And her campaign in 2009 brought together our LGBTQ community in ways that we did not even know at the time were going to be so formative in so many of our lives. She now serves as the president of the Victory Fund, a perfect role for her as she continues to inspire LGBTQ people to run for office and inspires all of us to dig deep in our wallets and support the candidates we want to see in office. So I am thrilled to award this award in her name to Mary Gonzalez. Mary is an ideal person to be honored in this way. She is the chair of the House LGBTQ Caucus, and specifically, she should be honored because she has been a very vocal back mic champion. She sticks up to legislators seeking to pass bad legislation while also consistently attempting to add LGBTQ inclusive and affirming amendments to bills and riders to the state budget. She takes every opportunity to lead on issues that matter to her constituents. She was the first woman to represent her district, and she is a member of our diverse LGBTQ community. Many of us met Mary when she was first running in a crowded Democratic primary in 2012. I worked to bring her to town for a private fundraiser with a couple of friends, like my brother John, Bill Colburn, and other Victory Fund donors like Tony Smith and Bruce Carroll, and at the time, a young Melanie Payne and Kendall Carmina. Representative Gonzalez spoke with such clarity about the lived experiences of the people in her district. Her command of the issues and her leadership transcended simply leading on LGBTQ issues, and she leads across all issues. The need for reliable, clean drinking water for the Colonias in her district, and the state's role in education. Mary understands we do not lead single issue lives, and education and economic issues or LGBTQ issues. And Representative Gonzalez fights for values and causes that are in the best interest of her district, and especially leads on behalf of our community and the State House each session. So this is my reminder that each of you sends representatives to Austin with your vote in State House races. So please send me some cool people. All of you, go vote. Go vote the caucus card. I still use the caucus card all the way in Austin. I download a PDF, and I vote for the statewide candidates all the way up and down the ballot that the caucus endorses. We because I trust this organization's endorsement process and I need to guide them. I'm also hoping that we can add Ann Johnson to the House LGBTQ caucus this session. So get out there and vote in House District 134 and send Ann to work with Mary in Austin. And so you're hearing this message to go vote right now. If you want to spread the word to others, you need to give money to support the caucus too. The rock solid leader, Chris Banks, and I started this fundraiser in 2009 to raise money to support our GOTV efforts for a new campaign and came up with a way to honor our heroes. So, talk about amazing heroes. Our honoree, Mary Gonzalez, grew up in her district. She's from Flint, Texas. Her impressive academic study and subject matter expertise is in history, Mexican American studies, social justice, and in 2019, while serving in office as well, she received her doctorate in curriculum and instruction cultural studies in education from the University of Texas. She's the vice chair of the Mexican American Legislative Caucus, secretary of the House Border Caucus. Representative Gonzalez also serves as the vice chair of the board of the Hispanic Caucus Chairs. She was elected chair of the new Texas South LGBTQ Caucus, which was formed in January 2019. She is now being honored by the amazing Houston GLBT Political Caucus. It is a very well-deserved award named after an incredible leader. So, congratulations to Mary Gonzalez. Be well and take this moment just to celebrate such incredible leadership during such tough times. Thank you all so much again for including me and enjoy brunch. Thank you all so much again. Cheers to Mary. She couldn't be here today, so Brett's going to hand me an award on Mary's behalf. And thank you all again so much. Give to the caucus right now. There are links. Don't forget to vote and stay well. I think, Javon, you're up next.
Actually, I get the distinguished honor to introduce two new members of our leadership team, co-chairs of our newly minted transgender and non-binary advisory board to the president, Dee Dee Water and Eric Edward Schell.
Good evening. My name is Eric Edward Schell, and I am the founder and president of Pride Portraits, as well as the co-chair for the Trans and Non-Binary Advisory Board with the GLBT Political Caucus. It is my distinct honor to be here tonight to present Monica with this award for lifetime achievement. When I think about Monica, I think about her blog, TransBrio. It is a resource that so many people within the trans community and those outside of it look to as soon as we hear about the murder of a Black trans woman. Monica Roberts is known for having factual information about the individual, usually information that the police and or news outlets do not have. Personally, Monica holds a very special place in my heart because she is one of the first out trans people that I ever met. She's one of the first people that shared her story with me. And to be honest, she really sparked my own gender identity journey. So Monica, thank you so much for all that you do. You touch the hearts and minds of thousands of people. Thank you.
Hello, 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 everyone. My name is Dee Dee Waters. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. I'm here today to give a shout out to a woman of the trans experience that I know and that I love. Someone who I call my sister, someone who I call my friend, and someone of which I love. Monica Roberts, it's all about you, baby. Congratulations on this award. To the caucus, shout out to you for acknowledging Monica Roberts.
an amazing Black trans woman. Monica, you have done things that have not only played a role in history through legislature, but you have played a role in change and in history in my life. If it wasn't for you, there are certain things that I wouldn't have done to make me be a part of history just as well. Monica, you have helped me through so very much, especially when it comes down to politics, and I greatly appreciate you for that. So, Monica Roberts, get your award, girl, and I love you, sister. Have a great one.
Thank you, Dee Dee. We appreciate the words and Eric's words. In honor of Monica, they were greatly appreciated. We do love Monica, and she's a part of our community. Next, I have the honor to present the award.
Thank you to the caucus. This is an amazing honor in light of the fact that the Harakabee has gone to some amazing people in our community, like Denise Parker and Jack Valen. Thank you to the caucus. This is an amazing honor in light of the fact that the Harakabee has gone to some amazing people in our community, like Denise Parker and Jack Valinsky, for starters. And I'm proud to not only be the first trans person to ever win this award, I'm also proud to be the first African American to win this award as well. While I didn't get into this 21 years ago to get an award, it is nice when your hometown recognizes what you do, and the stuff that I've done over the last 21 years has inspired another generation of trans folks to do the same. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica. Congratulations on your award.
And Catherine, if you want to take it from here, I believe you are setting up the Barbara Siganero Volunteer Leader Award.
Yes, thank you so much. I have the distinct honor of sharing with you the award for a Volunteer of the Award in honor of Barbara Siganero. Barbara has been described as inspiring, mentoring, contributing to her sophisticated political strategy, and doing a lot of grunt work. That is very descriptive, and it also describes our awardee this year. The 2020 awardee for Volunteer of the Award is Luis Adame. As many of you know, the caucus is a grassroots volunteer-led organization, and we are highly dependent on our volunteers. Luis came and joined the caucus about 3 years ago or so as a student at Rice University, and has been a core component of our Saturday volunteers, which I call the Gay Cock. And we provide a lot of assistance with processing memberships and getting the mail done and getting just organizational stuff. It's grunt work. It's not, you have a lot of fun doing it. And we love having Luis there as a core part of that. Luis has a big smile, brings sometimes some homemade baked treats for us, but is always eager to learn, always eager and enthusiastic to be a part of the team and jump in and just get the work done. Recently, Luis joined our leadership team by co-leading our volunteer outreach efforts and will be coordinating the majority of our Rainbow at the Pulse campaign during the have him on our team.
Hi, my name is Felice, and I humbly want to accept this award. This award means a lot to me because volunteering through the caucus has been an awarding experience in itself. From the very first time I volunteered as a Saturday volunteer at the caucus office, I felt welcomed. I met a lot of great people. I met Jetson, Ken, Jim, and a lot more others. And what kept me going back was knowing that the work we were doing was towards making the world a better place. I think that's something we can all agree is important. You know, the caucus does this by fighting for a more just, equitable, fair world. And sometimes it comes out, you know, through, you know, arguing and some, you know, very passionate words. But that's just a sign that we care a lot about what's going on in the world around us. And being a volunteer is just one way you can show that you care about the world. I'll keep this short and sweet. I'm not much of a big speaker. I'm hoping, you know, from one volunteer to a potential future volunteer, that you guys help the caucus get the card out. This upcoming election is one of the most important elections of our lifetime, certainly for mine. And I just want to make sure that the card gets pushed out there. So feel free to sign up to help get the card out at the polls. We'll have PPE and we'll make sure the volunteers are safe. That's something that the caucus always does. And that's all I really have to say. Just thank you so much for this award. Hope to see you guys around the caucus, and I can't wait to see you guys in person. Thank you.
Luis, congratulations on the Barbara Seganero Volunteer of the Year Award. We do have a handful of other awards to get to. In the meantime, though, I love seeing all your different backgrounds. I want to give a shout out to State Rep Ana Hernandez. I see you rocking the camp background there. Those marshmallows look good enough to eat, right? If only we could. It is great to see some familiar faces out there. David W. Robinson, Stephen Miranda, our district attorney, Kim Ogg. Thank you so much for spending time with us today and supporting this cause. And again, for anyone who hasn't had a chance to donate, feel free to find that donate link in our chat thread. Moving on now, I want to introduce Lane Lewis, who will set up the Jim Owens Newcomer of the Year Award. So Lane, I'll let you take it away.
Hi, this is Lane Lewis, and I'm here to honor my friend Jim Owens by presenting an award in his name to the Newcomer of the Year, Austin Ruiz. Jim had a quiet, unassuming smile. He never fought for the spotlight and was never one to toot his own horn. In fact, his strength rested in creating space for others to shine, and by doing so, Jim encouraged new members of the caucus and the talents that they brought with them. This year's Newcomer of the Year is Austin Ruiz. Austin graduated a few short years ago from Duke University and quickly returned home to be near his family. He set his mind to lending his communication skills to the nonprofit organization Young Audiences of Houston and helping to introduce young minds to the arts. This quickly led to becoming communications manager at the Montrose Center. And although many of us feel like we've seen Austin in and around the caucus for quite some time, he only joined about a year ago. He was recruited by his close friend, Stephen Miranda, and experienced baptismal by fire by making the August 2019 endorsement meeting his first meeting. He quickly began lending his graphics and communication skills to our organization and currently serves on the Caucus Leadership Committee as our communications director. Please join me in showing your appreciation to our Jim Owens Newcomer of the Year, Austin Ruiz.
Hi, everybody. First of all, I said thank you to Lane. Thank you to Javon, to the caucus, everybody for giving me this award. It means a lot, and thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of the organization. I did join just a little over a year ago, and it seems like I've been here for much, much longer. But honestly, thank you all so much for allowing me to be a part of the organization, for allowing me to work beside y'all, to champion pro-equality candidates, to try to make our world a little bit better place. All I can say is just I am very humbled and very honored, and thank you all so much.
Austin, congratulations. And Austin has worked behind the scenes very hard to help make today happen. So well deserved, and thanks for your work. All right, now I get to hand it on over to Mario in January with the next award, the Ellen R. Tinsley Distinguished Community Award. So Mario in January, take it away.
This year, we honor an ally who has stood by and with the caucus time and time again. Like the award's namesake, Eleanor Tinsley, Lily Schechter takes her support of the LGBTQIA community to the next level. It's no surprise that earlier this year, Lily was named the 2020 Pride Houston Ally Grand Marshal and is being honored here today.
Lily can often be seen at caucus events and meetings supporting our efforts to organize and elect pro-equality candidates in so many ways. Allies like Lily, who often answer the call to help without hesitation or question and without seeking a spotlight, are special. We don't want to take her friendship and support of the caucus for granted and are so proud to honor her today with the Eleanor Tinsley Distinguished Community Ally Award.
Thank you so much for this award today. I'm so grateful to all the work that the caucus does and to every individual that's here today and participated in the caucus for the last 10 years that I've participated. All of you are the reason that we're fighting so hard to make sure that we win this upcoming election. I am going to have to take a moment to make it political and a little partisan, because that is what I believe, that right now we are fighting for the soul of our nation, and it is the most important election of our lifetime. Looking back at what Mayor Turner said, everything is on the line. All of our rights are under attack, and we have to make sure that we go to the ballot box and have our voices heard. We cannot take anything for granted. This last week alone, Texas Republicans have tried to confuse voters every day by filing different litigation and changing the way we're running this election. So it's incredibly important that everybody does a couple of things. Number one, check your voter registration. Tomorrow's the last day to register to vote. I know I'm registered. I've still checked it 2 or 3 times over the last 2 weeks to make sure that I'm absolutely still registered, because I'm not taking anything for granted, and I encourage everybody to do the same thing. Once you've checked your registration, make sure all your friends and family are registered, and make sure you talk to them about the importance of voting up and down the entire ballot. Early vote starts October 13th. But it's not just about going in and voting for the candidates that you like or the candidates at the very top of the ticket. It's so imperative to vote for every Democrat at every position on the ballot, because every level of government is not separate. We cannot do things if we don't have good district attorneys like Kim Ogg, and good county attorneys like Christian Menefee. They have to work hand in hand together to support people like County Judge Lena Hidalgo to make sure that we can actually pass positive policy reform. So making sure that you go in and vote for every judge, every JP, every constable, every school board member like Michelle Palmer, because we need all of our elected officials to reflect our values and to be our voices in government. So thank you to the caucus for everything that you're doing. I appreciate all of you so much. I miss all of you so much, and this is so well done, but I really wish to see we could all see each other in person. So I hope next year we can do this in person. So thank you so much.
Lily Schechter, congratulations, well deserved. And a great reminder, again, tomorrow is the last day to register to vote in Texas. Early voting begins October 13th. Don't get stuck waiting in line for 6.5 hours to vote like I did at DSU. Early voting ends October 30th. And again, that reminder for us all to check our voter registration. You don't want to be one of these folks whose names was purged from those polls. So recheck your voter registration. It's super easy to do that online. All right, now we're going to hand it off to Emmett Schelling, who will be presenting our next award. Emmett.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of the 11th Annual Equality Brunch for the Houston GLBT Political Caucus. I am so excited to be able to introduce the next two awardees to folks. For people that do not know me, my name is Emmett Schelling. My pronouns are he, him, his, and I am currently the Executive Director of Transgender Education Network of Texas, or TENT. I am here representing just myself as a member of the GLBT political caucus this afternoon, though. But I say that in context of I understand what a fight, a history that our community has in achieving justice. That fight continues to go on. I think the temperamental times that we're in right now are really reflecting the importance of you know, our community being a part of this justice system. So with that said, I want to introduce both judges Stephen Kirkland and Judge Daryl Moore as this year's honorees for the John Paul Barnidge Justice Award.
I want to say thank you for recognizing me with the Judge John Paul Barnidge Award. I want to say it's a particular honor to be sharing it with my friend and colleague, Judge Daryl Moore, one of the smartest lawyers, judges, and perhaps smartest people I know. Harris County is losing a legal giant. So this is a legal giant this year, and it's a very sad occasion. As well as we are losing a truly great representative of our community in public office. I also want to say thank you for giving me this award with Judge Barnidge's name. I had the privilege of serving with John Paul, and I knew John Paul before we took the bench. I think we were friends. And it is always meaningful to be recognized with awards from the bear the names of folks that are important to you. Judge Barnidge was not the first openly gay judge in the state of Texas. That privilege to that honor belongs to Susan Barbara, who was followed by Jerry Burwell and then John Paul. But Judge Barnidge was the first here in Houston. And his presence on the bench inspired me to look at municipal court benches, a place where we could increase LGBT representation. That way, I loved it. It's of course an honor to be there, but it was also great fun. So he inspired me to be a part of the public process in a way that I wouldn't be without his presence in the group. So I'm deeply grateful that he made the sacrifice to take the bench and that did so in a way that inspired others to look at. When I was elected in 08 of my investiture, you made reference to Harvey Milk's Pope speech, and many of you know it. And I looked at my new colleagues, and I looked at the folks assembled to celebrate with me, and said, I know that the job of judging is about taking the facts and sorting through different versions of the stories of the facts and applying the law, which is a technical sort of exercise in coming to a judgment. And I know that's what the job skills are about, but holding the office was about hope. It's giving hope to the diverse populations across the city and the county that their voices would be heard. And just as John Paul gave me hope, I hope my tenure on the bench has given others hope. I never leave a microphone without issuing a challenge, and I have a microphone so I issue a challenge. This past election shows that ensuring that there is hope for the young gay boys, gay girls, lesbian girls across our community is not a given. It's something we have to fight for. It's something we have to organize and be ready for. Now, there are other open LGBT judges who will be up on the ballot next cycle. And because of this last election, there are probably already folks organizing to target them. our community needs to be organizing to support them. And I encourage you to come up with your plan now. I know we have a big election, and it is, of course, the election of a lifetime. They're all the election of a lifetime, you know, but this one truly is. And we have much work to do between now and November, and I know you're up to the task. Because I know you're going to be victorious, which means you also need to be ready for the next election. So start thinking now. Thank you again for this award. Have a great bunch.
Thanks for bearing with us. We thought we had this video from Judge Daryl Moore, but unfortunately we don't. So thanks for bearing with us. Congratulations again to Judges Stephen Kirkland and Daryl Moore. All right, now we're going to hand it on over to Bill Baldwin. Speaking of being busy, Bill, I think you're on your way someplace, right? I've seen you.
Greetings from Rockland, Maine. Greetings. I'm the first North person here on this Zoom. So Baby and I are. We're grateful that we could be here today. Thank you so very much. It's truly an honor to present this year's Tony and Bruce Philanthropic Leadership Award to Shelley Kennedy. As someone who knew Tony and Bruce and what they represented to our community, I could not think of a more deserving person than Shelley Kennedy. After experiencing deep personal loss, losing dozens of friends to AIDS in the late 1980s and 90s, Shelley Kennedy became an accidental activist, devoting her time and resources to personal causes and various organizations, including being a founding member of the committee that organized Houston's Black Tie Dinner in 1994. Shelley's history of community service goes back decades. She has devoted her time and energy to this organization, along with many others, and we can always count on Shelley to be there for us through the ups and the downs. We honor her today with this award and celebrate all she has given and know that there will be more to come. Congratulations, my dear friend, Shelley Kennedy.
Well, hello, caucus members. What an honor to be here being honored, and especially with the Tony and Bruce Award. My only regret is that Tony is no longer with us. I was sitting back thinking about one of the last times that we were sitting around talking, and it was David and Lane Lewis and Tony Bruce and me and Deb, and we were sitting back discussing who we wanted to be the next mayor. By the way, congratulations, Mayor Turner. But being honored by your own people is, and I've talked about this before, Caucus, you are my people, you are my family. It makes this especially, especially dear to my heart. I can't close without thanking all the board members, the committee members, the board president, and of course a special shout out to Brandon Mack for everything y'all are doing to really make a difference in this upcoming election. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Enough about me. I want to talk about what's happening right now. We have an election coming up that affects us more than it ever has, and with the loss of RBG, marriage equality, trans lives, affirmative action, the way that we even fit into corporations, everything about us, everything that we've ever fought for is on the line. We must get out the vote. So give to politicians, to give of your time. It is a known fact that if you call your contact list, it's 10 times more effective than if someone else calls your list. So call your friends, call your family. Make sure everyone has a just win. I love you. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart. Let's do this. When Democrats vote together, when LGBTQ vote together, we win. Let's change the world.
Kelly Kennedy, congratulations. Changing the world, indeed. And Bill Baldwin, thank you so much for presenting that award. Have a great trip. Now, before we presented this last award, we had some technical issues with Judge Gerald Moore's video. Judge Moore, I can see you there on my screen. I can see you there.
See you there.
There you are. Why don't you say a few words and thank so much for your service.
All right. Thank you to Emmett for the introduction, and it's an honor to receive the John Paul Varnish Award, the first openly gay judge in Houston, presented by the caucus, which has been doing quality work since 1975. And it's really an honor to receive it with Judge Kirkland. It's been a pleasure to serve with him. We've been able to do some things that wouldn't have been done. We've been on gender marker and identity change CLE programs for the Trans Network. And I know that some of the fellow judges I sit with are going to continue that work. It never occurred to me in the late 1980s when I was marching with Q Patrol to make sure our lesbian and gay brothers and sisters could get to their car safely without being attacked simply because who we are, that I would be the first, I would be an openly gay elected judge in the third most populous county in the United States, and that I would be legally and happily married to another man. So it is a real privilege and honor to get this award. I will say this, I will not quit working on behalf of our community when my term ends at the end of December. I will not quit working until we have full equality, inclusion, and justice at every level of government. So while I'm really proud and humbled to receive this award, I look forward to the day when we have a brunch where we are really united in equality and not just united in our quest for equality. Thank y'all so much.
Judge Moore, thank you so much. Thank you for your continued service to our community and for keeping people safe as part of Q Patrol. I didn't even know that existed decades ago, but
I'm glad you didn't have to.
Yeah, see, that's sign that things have changed, right? But still a lot of work to be done. All right, I'm going to send it on over to Jovan, who will present our next award. Jovan.
All right, thank you, Derek. First of all, let me say congratulations to all of the 2020 honorees today. You all are an amazing group of heroes and sheroes, and this community is far better off having you each in it. My name is Jovan Collin. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I am the 34th president of the caucus, and I would also like to take the opportunity to acknowledge other past presidents of our organization, starting with Lane Lewis, Chris Banks, Judge Fran Watson, and I would be a good son if I didn't take the moment to also acknowledge our past president and my mother, Maryneese Parker. Speaking of mayors, I faux pas earlier by not thanking Mayor Turner and Mayor Buttigieg and Mayor Parker for their remarks. That is an inspirational group of mayors indeed, and we are very honored to have had them at our brunch today. This award was always called the President's Award, and it is something that for me is the crown jewel of this event. It didn't have a name. We all discovered earlier this year, because of Kofi Anderson, one of the last founder of the GLBT political caucus that is still with us, when she came and she shared the story of a president that none of us ever heard of, the first African American person who was ever president of the caucus in 1977, Jim Cotton. If you look at some of the old programs, he is not listed. And when we all discovered that he, in fact, was a president, we went through great research to find any pictures of him or find anybody who could share any stories of him. There's only one picture that we've been able to find of Jim Cotton, and the one story that we were able to uncover, thanks to Pokey, was one in which he was introducing mayoral candidates at Cherryhurst Park
including a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Pokey described him as being a very shy introvert, who for the brief time that he was president, that was the one thing in her mind that stood out. So we have renamed the President's Award the Jim Cotton President's Award in the hope that this particular president, though he was a shy introvert, is never, ever again forgotten. The recipient of this award shares in the shyness, in the quietly doing the people's work, and that person is my friend Julie Mapry, who also is the owner of Pearl. She is a woman who uses her business, uses her time, uses her treasure to do whatever is asked of her or called upon for her to do for our community. And so I've known her for 10 years, and it is with the greatest joy and the deepest honor that I present Julie with the first Jim Cotton President Award.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to say thank you so much for this award. I am honored, grateful, and very humbled to be the recipient of an award named after such an amazing pioneer from decades ago. And it just reinforces to me my position as a business owner and part of the LGBTQ community to continue to do the right thing and to fight for human rights, equal rights, everything that's important. And I really am appreciative and grateful for this, and thank you so much.
Julie Mabry, congratulations, and Jovan, thank you for that as well. All right, folks, the time is 1:28. We're gonna let you go pretty soon. We got a few more items on the agenda, including a very special message from our own Harris County Clerk, Chris Hollins, about the importance of voting this year.
Good afternoon, Caucus family. I'm Chris Hollins, he, him, his, and I have the distinct privilege of serving as your Harris County Clerk. I'm glad to be with you today as a sponsor of the 11th Annual Equality Brunch. When I'm not brunching, I'm working with hundreds of dedicated team members at the County Clerk's office to save our democracy. And from our senior staff, to thousands of our election workers, to our bipartisan ballot board, I'm thrilled that so many caucus members are standing alongside us in this fight. I believe the strength of this country and our great state resides in the diversity of the individuals who call this place home. Harris County is the third largest county in the country, with over 4.7 million residents and over 2.4 million registered voters. Each of these individuals with their own unique stories and experiences, and all deserving to have their voice heard, and all worthy of the opportunity to help write the enduring story of America. The LGBTQ plus community is part of the American story. You are part of the Texas story. You are the story of Harris County. But it's clear that there is more story to write. We still have family across Texas that are being fired from their jobs, denied housing, and some being killed simply because of who they are, whom they choose to love, and how they choose to express themselves. Our children should not have to grow up in a society that's marred by ignorance, bias, and injustice. They deserve a Texas that's proud of them, that believes in their potential, and that acknowledges their humanity. We must continue to write this story together. And I believe that Election Day is a critical step towards progress. Never has it been so clear that elections matter, and that who we elect has a dramatic impact on our day-to-day lives, especially in times of crisis. The Supreme Court matters. Decisions there could turn back the hands of time and strip Americans of human and civil rights only recently acknowledged. And so, of course, the person who chooses Supreme Court justice. Now, it's not my job to tell you how to vote or what to believe, but I can tell you that Texas will never reach its potential if its rich diversity is not reflected at the ballot box. And that's why this fall, you'll have more ways to vote, more days to vote, more hours to vote, and more places to vote than ever before. The first drive-through voting in the history of the state of Texas. The longest early voting period in Texas history, 18 days. One of only two places in the country to offer 24-hour voting. Triple the number of early voting centers that we had just 4 years ago. And then, of course, Buddy. The first LGBTQ+ bar in history to serve in the voting center. Now, to be sure, having LGBTQ+ staff on my team, leading these efforts certainly helps. Isabel Longoria and Ben Chow, who were two of my first hires when I became clerk, have driven many of our best ideas to fruition. And partners like Andrea Segovia and Tim help update our training and our standards for affirming the gender of all individuals who vote. Your Harris County Clerk's Office is doing our part by making this the safest, most efficient, and most accessible election in Texas history. And I'm deeply grateful to the individuals that have worked tirelessly alongside us. Now it's your turn. Your job is to vote, and to vote like your lives depend on it. And so together, we can continue writing the story of hope and equality in Texas. Thank you again, family, and see you at the polls.
Harris County Clerk Chris Hollins, thank you so much. That's fantastic. And you know, it's not just Harris County this year that the caucus is helping to educate and endorse candidates for. Fort Bend and Waller counties, they also received mailers for the first time this election go round. So remember, you can share these cards with your friends and family. It's a great resource. You can also download the endorsements online if you just visit pac.thecaucus.org/endorsements. We'll ensure that that link is in this chat thread so you guys can blast it out, because it is such a helpful resource. And part of the money being raised through the caucus and the money being raised by this virtual brunch today will help support those mailers and also pay for the brunch. So thank you so much to all of the donors and to everyone who's made a donation. And for now, I'm going to send it over to January and Mario.
Thank you, Derek. All of the great work that we've heard about today that volunteers and caucus does year in year wouldn't be possible without support from our donors. At this time, we would like to recognize all of the sponsors and hosts for this event that have made it a success. We have two champion level donors for this event, Sheriff Ed Gonzalez and Bill Baldwin. We want to especially thank them for their very generous support. In addition, at the sponsor level, County Commissioner Rodney Ellis and County Commissioner Adrian Garcia, Christina Gorchinski and Brett Murfish, Richard Holt, Alan Hurwitz, Michelle Palmer, Strong Strategies, Mayor Sylvester Turner, Jeff Waters, and State Senator John Whitmire, all sponsors for the 2020 Virtual Equality Brunch. We would not have been able to do this without you. Thank you.
And our 2020 Equality Brunch hosts were Judge Eric Carter, Sarah DeMarchand, Judge Michael Gomez, Amparo Guerra, Judge Ursula Hall, County Clerk Chris Hollins, who we just heard from, Tanisha Hudspeth, Stephen Miranda and Blake Mudd, Judge Michael Moore, District Attorney Kim Ogg, Jane Robinson, Don Rogers, Joyce and Ambassador Arthur Schechter, Randolph Scott, Jerry Sibino, Ann Johnson, Veronica Rivas Malloy, Mark Allen Harrison, and Stacy Williams. Everybody should have received a digital version of this. If you didn't, and we'll make sure that you get one. Like I said, technical difficulties in some spaces. So, but our special donors, our sponsors, and our hosts will be mailed a hard copy of this. And this is gorgeous. If you have a chance to look at it, Austin Ruiz put this together, and all of our, there's so many people who bought ads, Carol
heard. I love the message, and it was fantastic. And Adrian Garcia, Commissioner Garcia, as well. So during this brunch, we have raised almost $40,000. And let me tell y'all that this has been a month that we have done this in. We would love to get past and above that mark. So if you have extra that you can donate during this time, please know that it goes to support progressive candidates that have been screened and recommended and voted on by caucus members. And you know, to get that card out to do our get out the vote efforts, we really need your help. So we keep putting up the link in the chat. It's really easy to do. I donated earlier. And thank y'all all for being here with us. I'm going to pass it back to Mario.
Yes, so let's raise a glass of whatever you have next to you, whether that be champagne or coffee or tea or soda, and let's toast all of the donors for the 2020 Virtual Equality Brunch. If we continue to show up like we have today, we will make great progress in Harris County and all the counties that we're doing work in at the state level and nationally. So cheers to all of you, and we look forward to your continued support.
Cheers, and fingers crossed that next year's brunch, maybe we'll be able to actually clink our glasses together in person. I'm still hoping for that. All right, we're just about out of time, guys. Actually, we're a little bit over time, so apologies for that. But thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. And before we go, we do want to hear from the lovely and talented Christina Wells just one more time.
How you guys doing? We're gonna break it down. Ah!
Thank you all so very much for being here. We hope we've provided a exciting and engaging program for you all. We want to thank all the elected officials who were here, the caucus president and board, Strong Strategies, who helped out quite a bit, Derek, for your efforts as MC. January, I think you're muted.
Sorry, I'm reading my little messages as I'm going along. I'm going to say thank you, but I want to especially thank Geraldine Maynard, who also is one of our sponsors. And I want to make sure we don't forget anybody. So thank you for that. And thank you all for being here today. I know this is something different, and we certainly didn't know what to expect, but we are grateful. And thank you. And I look forward to a successful November 3rd. Fingers crossed. Lots of work to do.
And to all of you running campaigns, good luck. We are with you. And, you know, it's weird times. What can we say? Oftentimes we see these commercials on TV, the crazy attack ads, and we think we're all being pumped like we're on a hidden camera show. But we can see right through them, and we support you. Best of luck. Get some sleep. And thanks for supporting the caucus. We'll see you next year.
Thank you.